Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. I'm in Australia with eSETI Australia, Peter Slattery. And it's Aluki Brandon Murray. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Hope I'm saying it right.
And
Ulukai.
Ulukai.
And I don't know, you know more about this subject than I do, being from Australia, so maybe you could go into
it a bit.
Or if you want to talk about who you are. I know it's hard to talk about yourself sometimes.
I guess a brief introduction, because I've just met Brendan lately, and I've been brought up here in Australia, of course, with that culture as well. But if Brendan, you could go into who you are, your position, and just as a brief overview, and then we can go into some other things and what's going on.
Sure. So my name is Ulukai Brandon Murray, and I come from an extinct tribe, so to speak. I have about four tribal connections through the southeast of Australia, but my main tribe is called Wa Warang, and Wa Warang is the Raven tribe. And we have been stated as extinct by the Australian corporate government. But so we're breaking all laws of physics and space and time at the moment, just for being here. But the corporations are very frightened of my bloodline, because we're not for sale. Never have been, and we never will be. So, just to move on a little bit from that, in our creatorship, the Raven tribe is a feminine tribe. We have a feminine deity who is our creator in nature, made all things natural, feminine, but not man or woman. And I guess for a long time that I didn't know this information until I had actually raised my vibration through suffering in truth. And the more truth that I suffer for, the more truth I receive. And so I'm quite used to sufferings. The physical is nothing. Mm-hmm. We can suffer in the physical, and that's just, who cares, really? But it's the spiritual suffering that helps awaken us and raise up our vibrations a bit more, so we can understand and see what's really going on in the world around us. And very soon in this earth, we must help people get ready to receive more and more information that's coming down out of the cosmos for us, because this is not our first world. We have had three other worlds that we've existed on before this one. Whether this was that world or whether it was somewhere else is probably irrelevant. But we're about to go through something on this world that's we have gone through before three times, and the light has defeated the darkness three times before, and this time will be no different. So as we move forward into the next few months, we ask people to firstly wash away any ideas they have in their minds about the world and the universe, because the mind is a trap. Mm-hmm. You can get trapped in your mind and get stuck into a rut of thinking, which hinders your vibration and lowers your vibration. So we ask people to think with their hearts instead, because the heart is full of neurons. It's one big neuron. Mm-hmm. And it has its own memory, and it remembers all of these things that humanity has been through. And the reason the heart has the same memory and neurons, because if it was up to the human mind to tell the heart to beat every time it needs beating, there wouldn't be many people around. if you had to consciously beat your heart. So there is a automated side to humanity that we can synergize or synchronize ourselves with. But it only comes from within that heart space. And there's always a battle between my mind and my heart, but the heart is the ruler. And the ruler has the last say, no matter what.
With that said, and this is where we've met, and you've met James last week, and there's very similar correlations throughout the cultures in terms of information. Like you said, that this is the fourth time we're going into it now. It's been three times before. One of the beings I communicate with from the Pleiades has said the same thing. James has had the same information as well. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're from three different areas, all getting the same information. Are you able to go into... You've had experiences, we've talked, so you're somebody that's had stuff happen. We've all had experiences, I guess, at something, I reckon, anyway. Are you able to go into some of the information pertaining to the Pleiades? Because it's another thing where James has got information about that, so have I, and so has the original people's culture here in Australia. There's a huge connection to the Pleiades.
Well, I believe you guys are about to head out to the rock soon.
Uluru.
Yeah. Uluru, yes.
So Uluru is a very special place because it is a piece of Pleiades. Mm-hmm. It was sent by the Pleiadians here like a seed to seed our earth. So when you see the Uluru, the rock in the desert, what we see on top of the land is only about one tenth of it. The rest of it's like a big arrowhead straight into the earth. And there is some other Pleiadian rocks that sit near it, and they call it Katajuda. And Katajuda is the marbles, or the ogres.
That's what Sol was talking about.
Yeah, they're also Pleiadian rocks. And we believe that there's actually 12 there. And Uluru was the 13th, and there comes that number again.
Wow, yeah, 13.
There was 12 marbles that was sent through the cosmos from Pleiades to seed this earth. And the big arrowhead, which was the rock itself, Uluru, and the 12 marbles were the ballast that carried 12 different forms of energy within. And that's what gave our earth the life force, that the living spiritual life force. And before that, it was just a molten rock floating through space. So it was the Pleiadians who seeded spirit and energy and frequency into our earth in the first instance. So everything we have is a result of their intervention or their interaction with this part of the cosmos.
Like terraforming, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never ever believed in evolution of man. So I think that there's sequence and steps that we go through and have a spiritual evolvement. But there was a evolution in the animal world though. Before any humans were allowed to be born onto the earth, the animal world and the world of nature had to become conscious, self-conscious, conscious of the self. And otherwise humans wouldn't have that if we were born into a world and the earth itself was not conscious. We would not be conscious either. So here in this part of the world, the stories that have been taught to me by ancestor being is that it was a red kangaroo who first recognized herself as a physical being and a spiritual being when she was having a drink of water out of a pool. And she saw her reflection and realized that that's me. That not just the image of me, but the feeling of me from within. And the moment that had happened, It was a catalyst that the seven spirits of our creation, some people say the seven sisters or seven serpents, but the record I have from spirit is that there's three female, and one who was neither and both at the same time, in the serpents that created our world. Now, I know some people probably don't like the term serpents, even, but it's dragons, serpents, spirits, whatever people like to call it, but it's a... But there was more than seven that come here. There was another two that a lot of people don't know about, and that was the black serpent and the white serpent. Because the rainbow can only exist between the light and the dark. It can't exist without both. And that's why we in our country here always kept a reserve in our tribal land for the darkness, because the darkness had a right to exist, but it didn't have a right to rule over men. So we had a great system here that was designed to give them their freedom in their own little bit of our country, as long as they didn't come out of their boundaries and annoy humanity. Because another thing that spirit had taught me is that spirit can be destroyed as well.
Yeah.
That spirit can be unbanded from itself and torn to bits. And they've proven that the spirit itself, eternal is one thing, but according to your action, you can be actually torn to pieces, and all the different bands that you operate in can be dissipated.
Dissolved.
Yeah, and then you'll become back to the nothingness and to the void again.
We have a similar thing in the States, you know, where the darkness has to stay in it. It's called Washington, D.C. Where they keep spilling out and messing up the rest of the country.
Well, oddly enough, we got Canberra.
Yeah.
And I believe that place to be one of them places where darkness was locked up and kept. A lot of the alpine regions we didn't go up into too much.
We
didn't like the altitude too much. And I've heard stories that some of these ranges here in the first days of the earth, particularly after the impact in the centre of Australia with the Uluru, the seed from Pleiades, is that we had mountain peaks here that were three times the height of Everest.
Oh, wow.
And imagine trying to walk up there.
Yeah.
You really do need an oxygen suit.
Exactly.
And, but that's how old our Earth is. Humanity is much, much older than what the scientists would like you to know about.
I know the research goes back to, I think we're back to something like 650 million years old as far as gold chains and you know, some advanced humans were here. You know, and they found trilobites crushed with boot prints and things like that. So I always tell people the Earth's been colonized more than once, and everybody had to start over as primitives. And I know you have stories like that in your culture, like the Great Flood or meteor impacts or things where civilizations had to start over again?
Yeah, well, this one of my teachers was a beautiful Native American man. I don't know if they like to call themselves Native Americans, but
Wallace Black Elk. Right?
Wallace Black Elk, yeah.
And you happen to be my teacher as well. The synchronicities,
prophecies with me and everything. That's interesting.
Yeah,
and he was one of them driving forces that, without words, because a lot of my teachings come without words. They come through just being present.
So almost like a download type
Yeah. And even through touch. I've had elders give me information while they're holding my hand, and we're talking about the rain and humans. And at the same time, they're putting all of this information into me. And it's helping me to open up to The main thing that they try to teach me is about non-judgment, and to ease back on judging. Even though we naturally judge, you know, it's part of our makeup.
Yeah.
And one of the secrets that an old desert woman had downloaded into me was actually about the naturalness, oddly enough, of homosexuality and lesbianism and bisexualities and people who are straight, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how they explained that to me for a download was through imagery.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get the image that arises from within, and the image is attached to that person that gave it to me. And so this old desert woman explained through spirit that when a man and a woman lay together, and you got two life forces hammering to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, but when the male seed is entering into the womb of the female egg, then, because both of them have their own life force, but two life forces can't become one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just not nature. It's just a universal law.
Yeah.
So what becomes is that when the seed hits the egg, them two life forces get pushed out of that physical, that biological interaction, and that biological interaction becomes the neutral,
mm-hmm.
and becomes the inner child,
yeah.
within us. And it's because all spirit has desire, and sometimes ego creeps into that desire.
Mm-hmm.
So when the two forces, the masculine and feminine, are knocked out of that union, and that union is a neutral, then they'll start to debate over who's going to be the manipulator and the inner voice of that new being,
mm-hmm.
and or the chaperone of that new being. And if they're equally matched in their argument and they go over time, the biological side, the neutral side, makes up its own mind as to what it's going to become physically, because it has to, because the time has run out. So it's going to hit a switch and become a physical man or a physical woman.
Mm-hmm.
And if it becomes decides to make itself into a physical man, and then the feminine spiritual aspect within has won the debate over the masculine, then the feminine will be around and be the inner voice,
mm-hmm.
of that masculine body.
Yeah, yeah.
And become the nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that neutral who's become a male naturally thinks it's a female, because it's the inner voice, which is the feminine, nurturing and raising up that neutral child, or the inner child, which is the neutrality within us all. And same thing for, you know, so that causes some sexuality issues in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are bisexual, and I love telling them people this one, is when the two forces, the masculine and feminine, really don't care. They're not up for arguing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, you can have every second Tuesday, and I'll have football on Wednesday, and hey, let's sleep for more.
Yeah.
Who cares? So that's it's ego based in the spiritual. Yeah. That's all it is, and ego is a part of us.
Yeah,
it's what we choose to do with it that makes a big difference.
Yeah, we've always been taught, you know, you don't want to kill the ego, you want to bring it into alignment with the higher selves, the other dimensions of self, and then, because you need it to function down here.
And it's a powerful tool
to use.
With the things going on at the moment in the world and the changes and everything, is there anything you can say from your experience and point of view and knowledge on where things are going in, say, the next year or so? Because we're seeing a lot of build-up, like we spoke about when we first met in 2012, there's been a change in consciousness in the way that people are more awake than ever. They're seeing the lies of the government or whatever structure in our civilization we've got, and we're seeing people, I guess, open up more than ever now to the possibilities of otherworldly things, as well as people are now recognising that, yes, the government would do things that apparently they wouldn't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's this, so even to the layman, the average person, there's been a change, because they're open to that debate now of, mm-hmm. oh, the police or the government would do this, where before they wouldn't go there.
Yeah.
But is there anything you can talk about in terms of what we're looking forward to in the future of possibilities with things going on, I guess, on a civilization scale of change?
Yes, well, it's some people say I have too much faith in spirit, but I know that spirit is much more powerful than our physical world around us, and not just spirit of from an Aboriginal point of view or the nature point of view, but the whole universe as a whole is spirit. We truly are just a tiny little piece of that. So it's once you start to receive proper knowledge, you realise how we are insignificant, yet we are significant at the same time,
mm-hmm.
because of the beautiness of the beautiful things that humans have to offer to the rest of the universe too. And that's why we're a focal point down here, because there's some galactic beings who don't really like what's going on here, and there's some galactic beings who do enjoy what they're doing here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we, and all old world prophecy speaks of the unveiling.
Mm-hmm.
When soon, no matter what technology they have, they will be exposing themselves. The dark ones who are here controlling, their time is coming to a close on our earth. And the same old lady who downloaded me the information about mm-hmm. co-creation, she told me that when I returned to my country, meaning just this part of the valley here, that to seek the truth and my story, all I had to do was look to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be written across the stars. And when I come back into Victoria, and then I realised and I started to notice the stars more, then all of these messages started to open up. And one star told me that our Creator, who first sent the seed here in the first days of the earth, and then arrived here to seed man, in the first days of the earth, after the animal world had become developed, that he is coming. And he's not coming alone, that there's actually a whole armada of these beings who are going to come and basically clean up our world.
Nice, yeah.
And humans need to raise their vibration levels as soon as possible, because time is an aspect of man that's hard to explain. So this could happen tomorrow or the next day, it could have happened yesterday, we just don't know it yet, we haven't remembered it yet. But I know that the future has already happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just have to remember what happens tomorrow, basically.
I heard we're walking through the dregs of time, is what they say. It's already happened, but we have to walk through this.
Yeah, follow the script.
Stage. I wanted to ask you a question about going back to Wallace Black Elk. He shared some prophecies with me, and part of the end of the prophecies is, and some other information beforehand, that I probably have to front load this with, is that he was saying that 12, and other people told me that there was 12 major star nations involved in terraforming the Earth, and I think there might have been other minor contributors too. It might have been more than that, but 12 major star nations. And there was not just one attempt because of the changes and things like that that happened on the Earth. But he's saying that the star nations, you know, he talks about the beast and the beast being 2,000 miles wide. And just when you're about ready to give up all hope and you think that there's no more freedom and you're totally oppressed, the beast consumes itself. And then the star nations return, and then the Earth, with their technology and their spirituality, the Earth goes through a really fast healing transition. And I was wondering if that fits into kind of your prophecies or understanding as well.
A lot of the knowledge I have from within actually comes from Grandfather Wallace.
Yeah.
And he was another one that encoded and downloaded information into me while we spoke about human things.
Yeah.
But there was all these secrets that they were sharing with me that that I wasn't to know about, I guess, until it was needed to come out and be shared with the world. But now I'm starting to wonder whether those 12 star nations, the 12 elite families,
you
know, sucking the life force out of our life and us.
Yeah.
You know, where it's symbiotic with the Earth, and whatever happens to the Earth happens to us, whatever happens to us happens to the Earth.
Yeah. They're also telling me, too, that there was that the Pleiades have more genetic stock in the Earth than the other races, and they had more of a hand in terraforming and the Earth, and so the because of that, they've been kind of given the lead role in the shift that we're going through to help, you know, restore, liberate the Earth and get it back on track to be the Eden it was created to be before it got hijacked. I wonder if you have some similar information like that.
Well, this, what Spirit has taught me is that, like I said, all the life force of the Earth is Pleiadian based. They sent the frequency and the energy here through that big spearhead or arrow and the 12 marbles. And so it truly does belong to them in the first days, and we are their creation. And the spirit of the Earth is all multi-banded frequency that, as we know, has been infiltrated time and time again throughout the eons.
Were they ravens?
Yeah.
It's got raven, and Neil the King of the Raven Tribe, so yeah, it's got ravens flying around.
A whole bunch of ravens over us here right now. And then we had the eagle earlier. We had a beautiful eagle soaring right over us.
Sorry about
that.
It's good to recognize that.
There's one there.
Yeah.
They've been out here having a ceremony. And I think it's marriage ceremony. And they like humans in the old world, they, and still happens in many parts of the world, even Australia, is the promise system.
Yeah.
Parents promise their kids often to each other, you know, to keep them away from their own bloodline.
You know?
Keep your eyes off your cousin, go and live with them.
Yeah. Bet the Illuminati didn't do that. Look where it took them.
What do you think? Yeah, British royalty.
Yeah. Interesting, just quickly, I remember when Sol and I came out to meet you, it was funny because we had like 20 black birds fly in front of the car, and she's going, they're ravens. I'm going, no way. And then we get here, and the same birds, just before we left, I don't know, maybe double that, flew straight over, and it was the same birds, and they were ravens.
Yeah.
And we're here with you, and I'm just thinking, what's the bloody chances of that, especially when before we even got here? Just a huge flock of them was following us, so.
Well, I did hear a story, I don't know, would we say a Native American prophecy about the great change that will happen when the Blackbird tribe rises.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
And I know that because our bloodline here, the Raven tribe, we can go all the way back to when the Pleiadians first come here to give birth to man. We are direct lineage of the Pleiadian beings. And our name for creator or God or whatever people want to call that higher power his name is Biami, and he was a man. He was a masculine, muscular, elderly looking man.
Mm-hmm.
But his hair was not grey.
Mm.
His hair was made of silver and gold.
Mm.
And when the animal world had become evolved, and when the animals recognized themselves as spiritual and physical beings, that's when the seven serpents who created the earth itself and all the color and vibration, because when the nine serpents arrived here, the black serpent and the white serpent went to sleep in the core.
Mm-hmm.
And become dormant, and the seven rainbow serpents went about creating the and gestating the earth into a physical and spiritual being, because the earth itself has its own spirit, which we are spiritually attached to and physically attached to. So Biami had arrived here in a location not far from here, and they, between the seven serpents of creation, the seven spirits of creation, and Biami, our father, they had manifested the first earth being, or humanoid being, was our mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they made her out of rainbow obsidian.
Mm.
And when they brought her up out of the earth, then they rose her off the earth, they separated her from the earth, and then they brought her back down again, and when she touched the earth again, she was standing on a ley line, like a huge junction of ley lines.
Yeah, yeah.
And the moment she touched the earth again, all living creatures of the whole earth, even the trees, even the rivers, which has their own spirit, separate to the neighbouring river,
mm-hmm.
all donated a piece of their own soul or spirit through the ley line system to go into our mother.
Mm-hmm.
She glowed with the life force of every living creature on the earth. And this is why I believe that we know her as Mother, and Mother Earth, because she was the whole epitome of the earth spirit contained into one physical woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Biami, our father, laid down with her and co-created the first 12 beings who were made of crystal. Their skeletal structures were crystal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they got their crystal skeleton from their mother, who was rainbow obsidian. She's an amalgamation of all the Earth's crystal combined. So the first was born of the clear quartz crystal, and then there was a milky quartz, and there was a rose quartz, all the different quartz crystals and gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
And we could probably find the name of them actually in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they list 12.
Adam's breastplate with the.
Oh yeah, I heard all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. I haven't found that one, but I found them in the Genesis.
Yeah. You're saying that, yeah.
And also in Revelation, the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem all have a different crystal name.
Yeah, yeah.
Which pertain to each crystal at its own frequency.
Yeah.
And there's portions of humanity that belong to the frequency of that crystal being.
Yeah, you probably see it in the aura, the field of the aura would match the purple amethyst or, you know, yellow.
And that's
citrine
why
or whatever, you know. It's like,
I find that most people who are clairvoyant belong to the violet or to the amethyst crystal.
Is that the one you had? You had a was that the amethyst crystal skull you had for a while?
Yeah. I'm getting used to the new batch of chemtrails over here in Australia.
Yeah, we've been getting smashed a lot.
Yeah.
You did a post the other day on it too. I think.
We had did you see? I saw that eagle. He was just right above us here, just soaring.
I've just been seeing stuff flashing around.
He was just circling, and that's a really good sign. But amazing.
So, with what you're saying, Brendan, is that going into the crystal? These skeletons. That's going into the crystal skulls.
Yes. Yeah. There's only 13 real ones.
Yeah.
All the rest are fakes and frauds.
And they have full bodies. They have not just the skull, the full body.
And the jawbone should be separate.
Yeah.
Just like us.
It's amazing because when you see the aura photos, you see, you know, sometimes people will be predominantly green or blue, or some will be a mix of two, you know, and each frequency has an attribute to it, like green is healing and blue is love and wisdom, and yellow is like the source, you know, violet's transmutation, you know, and the people that have the energy in their fields, that's their nature, you know, they're people that transmute things, or they're people that heal or share love and wisdom. I think it's amazing that all had to have an origin, you know, somewhere, and that takes it back to the ancient stories.
So if we look at the rainbow, the seven colors, they correlate with the seven notes of music.
Mm-hmm.
And G is your bass chakra.
Yeah.
G spot.
Yeah.
To your G spot. Why is it called a G string?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Why isn't it a Z string?
Yep.
My flute's a G. The flute I play is a G too. It's kind of interesting.
That's a quarter of the libido.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder about that one.
And then it's A is orange, B yellow, C is your middle C.
Mm-hmm.
It's your heart chakra there, the green. And then up to F. I call it F the spirit chord.
I always wanted to build a sound and light machine that corresponds with the chakras. Somebody's probably already done it, that sends both sound and light. And you just stand in front of it or sit in front of it, and it just totally energizes each chakra.
And really tunes you back.
Tunes
you to your true tuning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what humans need to be done, is tuned.
Yeah.
So we need big tuning forks. In our culture, we still have tuning sticks.
You got a line, you get a tune-up. Yeah.
So the 12, though, it comes from the five semitones.
Mm-hmm.
Of the chordal structure, as well, and the crystals, there's five semitonal crystals, and I'm starting to wonder whether the five semitonal crystals were designed to allow other beings to exist here.
Yeah,
they're semitones, not full earth tone.
Yeah,
I wonder if the five extra tones were put here in our first days to allow galactic interaction with us and the teachings and the ongoing overseeing or the witnessing of what's happening with us.
I know a lot of people, you know, they want them to land on the White House lawn or something, but I always tell them there's no intelligent life there, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They don't have the open heart, the open mind, the loving heart, pure intent necessary for contact. So that's, you know, whatever's landing in the White House or working with the White House now is really not in our highest and best good.
No.
But as well as most governments, but these benevolent ones that are returning are undergoing a huge cleanup process, and they said they're doing a lot of it with frequency, and whatever's not frequency specific to the Earth and its evolution, and they know how to use these forces, actually are driven out through frequencies. I don't know if you've heard anything about that or.
Well, it's a bit like what Russia has just done to Turkey.
Yeah.
Shutting down the communication using frequency.
Just
shut them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you start, when we do develop our, like here sometimes when I feel there's a bit of darkness around, I'll create a bubble of protection around our camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I start at the very core and then spread it out even into the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not just above the ground, it's sun ground as well. And you slowly move it out, and it gives them negative forces a chance to get out.
Yeah,
it just pushes them out slowly, because they don't like being inside it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you carry a positive energy around with you, you instantly know when there's someone negative around, because
they're giving you the
snake eyes, right?
Yeah.
I call it barking. They start barking at you right away, you know, all of a sudden they start like kind of challenging you or barking at you or saying negative stuff at you, and it's just the energy amplifies whatever they're carrying, and it's kind of an interesting process, but I just smile and laugh at a guy, they're just barking at me.
Well, I actually got hissed at, physically hissed at by an overweight woman who were covered in gold.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't even know that she hissed at me.
Wow.
I just walked past her in the street, and she started to get all funny, and then she looked straight at me from about 2 meters away and went... And then had this vacant look on her face, like, oh,
yeah,
what happened?
She didn't even know she did it.
Yeah, I didn't even realize.
Wow.
So yeah. I love carrying the light within and just shooting it out at people.
Yeah.
Because it brings them out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It shows an nasty side.
I should just turn the light on and then play stupid, like you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
What? Like, what are you talking about? They're just coming unglued, you know. Just go,
and it does it.
Can I help you? So, yeah. You know, it's like,
it does bring them under. With that said, but, and what I'd like to go into is, we've talked about this in private, us three, but obviously there's the Archon reptilian network and that those sorts of things. You know, that's that faction of things going on, but... You know, one thing that's great talking to both of you is that there is a war going on, and we recognise this war. And it's not to scare people, but it's to inform people that in the days to come, people need to start taking self-responsibility and deciding not for those around them, or not on in a materialistic way, but on a soul level, what they're going to do and where they're going with things, because how things are going to unfurl... You've really got to pick a side, and people go, I don't want to pick a side, but it's time to pick a side of what you're going to do and what side you're going to be on. And, you know, what would you two like to say about that? Because we've spoken about this.
Yeah.
And it's not, again, it's not to scare anyone, but this is what's going on. And I think it would be an injustice if we didn't cover this or tell yous a bit about this, because this is really what's going on now. And those that say that everything's love and light just don't know what they're going on about. At source state, mm-hmm. That's the case, and all's made up, and there's that duality that you're talking about. But there's a war going on, and people need to recognise, I think.
Yeah.
So, would you like to say anything about that?
Well, I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, because...
Well, I've talked to a few New Ages about this. like particularly a bunch of older women, and I said, there's a great war happening, and it's going to... physically manifest on the earth soon, with great technologies and great battles, and that may go like a scene from a Hollywood movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, everyone has to start picking a side. And these senior-looking women from this New Age movement say, "Oh no, we're going to sit in the middle and see which way things go." And I. Yeah. It stumped me, right? Such ignorance,
cool.
Sort of like chinned me. I had to get up and do games for an 8 count or something.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what was going on. Then by the time I got back up and said, "Well, you'll be the first casualties."
Yeah.
Not to sound negative, but if you place yourself in between the warring factions, you are going to get caught in the crossfire.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're actually in between the two warring factions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it is important for everyone to choose a side, whatever side it is, just, you know, and it's in their heart to know which side they're on. And there's also a lot of transforming that's been happening in the last couple of millennia as well, where those who have come here to teach darkness and destroy, after being born and in contact with humanity after a while, they start to understand that there's this thing called love.
Yeah.
And it starts to transform them. So there are some that were sent here to destroy who have now become lovers of our species.
Yeah.
And are prepared. They're like whistleblowers too for their species.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not all bad that comes out of specific areas.
Mm.
But there is a war. And it's a spiritual and energetic war for now, although it is physical. Every war we see on TV is the physical aspect of that war.
Yep.
And the manifestation of what man is doing here, with being controlled by different galactic beings.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening on the earth is not a natural human trait.
Yeah.
At the moment, to destroy ourselves like this.
Yeah, I would say non-humans do inhuman things. If you really want to understand what's really going on, you have to go into the non-human realm to truly understand it.
And I it just dawned on me before when you were talking about the 12 stars people that are here existing on our Earth. And over generations, it starts to come out in our physical attributes as well.
Yeah.
I find with some of the lizard people that they're overweight and they've got the many chins and they're covered in gold and they expect everyone to do their work for them.
Yeah.
They see themselves as the dominant spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the highest spirit at that.
Kind of a much wants more program.
And they got all these little foot soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
That they brought with them. And there's one that I call them the Ibis people.
Oh, yeah.
And a typical image of a witch with the chin coming out and the nose coming down.
Yeah.
Like a beak starts to form.
Yeah.
Off their faces. Mm. And they've got an extruded chin and a hooked nose that's coming out more and more each generation. And turtle people, I've seen turtle people. They've got these weird, straight faces like a turtle.
Yeah.
From the side, they don't have a nose that comes out.
It's straight.
Straight, yeah. And they move a little bit slower than everyone else. There's a couple of different forms of reptilians here too, I believe.
Yeah,
Not just the one sort of dragon type.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of forms.
Yeah, I had an experience once. It was, I'll try to keep it short, but I was meditating and I just went out of body, and the next thing you know, I was part of a cleanup crew that was on the next level that were working, and we were kind of liberating the earth on this other level, and we would go up to a relationship, and there'd be a kind of a reptilian human relationship going on, and we'd come in there and we'd just say, "Is he treating you right?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Everything, no harm, you know, no, all right." And we just go on to the next one, you know, as long as they were kind and loving and didn't bother with them. But, you know, if they're being aggressive and hurtful and dominating, then we took care of business. It was a really interesting dream. And I think we're doing a lot of work like that we don't even know about on our multidimensional selves.
Yeah,
well, the physical is only a result of the spiritual, I believe.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's definitely a hard copy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Is there any, because this is such an awesome opportunity for people to hear about the original people's culture, the stories. Is there any sort of main stories that you could share? Because people from all around the world are not just watching this, but listening to this. Just in terms of star connections, like, is there any sort of stories that you know of about the reptilian connection to the Earth? We went briefly over the Pleiadians, but even with beings maybe from Orion or elsewhere, is there any sort of stories you can share? Or,
well, in aside from my grandfather's country, which is the Raven tribe here, his wife, my grandmother, her people come from a place called Lake Mungo, and that's it's a famous archaeological site.
Mm-hmm.
But that site originally, for the tribe's people, was where we used to meet with the star people.
Wasn't there bones of, like, really tall people found there or something? The Mungo Man?
One-legged giants. And heaps of other different sorts of weird tracks and prints that's embedded in the bedrock there. And that's why I sometimes wonder whether the dinosaur tracks are dinosaurs.
Or are they
reptilian?
Yeah, really big, yeah.
Yeah.
We found some at the ranch one day in the mud. And at night, there was some kind of a reptilian or something that had a total dinosaur. And it had the three toes, you know, and a claw on each one. But it was the stride was about, as it went through, there was about 8 feet, and then it turned into 16 feet stride. So this thing had a long stride on it, and then it just disappeared. And I think it flew, you know, or something, because it was fresh mud, and you could see the steps of it, and then all of a sudden it just vanished. There are no more tracks.
Well, there's also stories that one of my uncles told me. Firstly, he talked about NASA.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Nephew, you see them people at NASA?" I said, "Yeah." He said, they're trying to build spaceships to go out there. I said, yep. Yeah. They're just trying to get home, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't belong here.
Yeah. Never a straight answer, that's what we call.
Yeah.
It's funny you brought up that lake before too, because I found out that the original people used to go up Mount Buffalo in Victoria, which is near Falls Creek and Mount Hotham.
Yeah.
And I'd been going there almost every New Year and Christmas since I was born, and I've had contact, I've filmed a lot of crafts there as well, and you look at the mountains in that area and Mount Buffalo would be the most difficult to get up, yet the smallest, but there was a reason why the original people went up there, and it was to have contact, and there's a lot of stories about that as well. Now we've got to wrap it up within about 10 minutes, but I'd like to go into this project that you've got going on at the moment, and in terms of trying to get together investors and that, in terms of such a good cause, are you able to go into any of that? And anybody that want to contribute, they can go to petermaxwellslattery.com to your letter, and the details are there for all that, but can you go into a little bit of that in terms of what you're trying to set up here?
Well, what we've done is we've located a property in my grandfather's country here, and firstly I'll introduce myself as the world's poorest king, because I am.
Yeah.
And the spirit has guided me further and further away from money, purely because of the negativity that's attached to it.
Yeah.
And that I wasn't to receive any money until it became positive.
Yeah.
But also we know that we can transform negative to positive. We're receiving a negative thing, transferring it through us, and then making it into a positive thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I've always known that I have that power to turn negative to positive from within.
Yeah.
And so we are seeking out investors. We need to raise $1 million to, that's just a deposit.
Yeah.
To get this beautiful private lake off the market and into our hands so we can start running programs there. So we're seeking out a certain number of investors, between 10 to 20 investors to come in and we're looking at intuitive investment though.
Yeah.
Someone who could feel that this is a good thing, this is the right thing for them to back. So the properties has a high value, and I think that we can actually negotiate to get the final amount down. This property, the man who owns it, turned down $100 million from Coca-Cola. He didn't want the land to be poisoned by corporations.
A really good water there too.
And the water has been tested as the purest water in Australia and number 3 in the world. That there's only 2 other water sources on earth that are as pure or healing as this water.
Yeah. Beautiful.
This water is golden.
Yeah.
Like when I fill up the bottles out of the taps, I thought it was rusty taps, but
yeah,
it was the colour of the water.
Yeah.
Like colloidal gold.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we want to run programs, especially universal programs that talk about our galactic presence here and where we sit in that in the greater universe around us, and what we can do to raise our vibrations up to get ready to transfer our spirits into the new world, which is, it's already been physically made.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there waiting to be seated again, the new world, but it's up to humans now to raise our vibration levels up and so we can be transferred through to that new place. And I don't know whether that place is here, whether it's going to be an overlay and the blueprint reburnt and recreated, but so we're seeking out positive investors. All investors will have free and unhindered access to all the different programs that we'll be running there. Also, because it's such a large property, we're thinking that even between $50,000 to $100,000 Australian dollars, that we may be able to set up a retirement village here for them people as well. So not only will they have free access to all of the different programs that will happen from the moment we walk on till till forever afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll be able to live there in their twilight years and you know, transfer themselves from this earth to the new earth at that location. We also plan on setting up a galactic embassy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the new beings who are here, who have been hidden away by false leaders, they want a treaty with the Earth.
Yeah.
And they haven't been allowed to do so. They've been dealing with the wrong people who are unauthorized to do a treaty.
Yeah.
So we need to raise the vibration of humanity up, ready to receive all of these, the beautiful galactic beings, which some are already here and there's more on their way.
Mm-hmm.
And ready to open up our knowledge base and not be so closed-minded as humans, but to get ready for a new earth and a new dimension in our existence.
So a big reunion with the greater family of man or the Star Nations. Everybody has a different name for them, but mainly focusing on the benevolent side of things.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to James and myself. And, you know, I'd love to get you back on sometime as you know, things progress and go more into other things as well. And so this is a bit of a mixture between As You Wish Talk Radio and the Peter Axel Slattery Show. But thank you so
thank
much.
You very much.
Thank you so much. And
coming on the show.
People want to help out, there'll be details in the description of the video part underneath here on YouTube or where you've downloaded the shows on As You Wish Talk Radio or the Peter Axel Slattery Show. And again, thank you everyone and cheers.
Good day, mate.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because you might get it.